You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
You know, Thanksgiving is an American holiday. This is where all the turkeys run to Mexico. It's not a Mexican holiday. It's not a Canadian holiday. You know, it is a holiday here in the United States, specific to the United States. But it's fascinating, you know, as churches, we're all heavily involved in Thanksgiving. Churches celebrate. Why? Because we're thanking God. That's what was the whole point was. When the pilgrims came over, they had a rough time, and a lot of people died that first few months they were here. They weren't prepared for the winters and so on and so forth, and they were actually in drought, and they began to pray. They began to pray, and God caused rain to come miraculously. You ought to read that. It's a miracle that took place. There weren't any big clouds in the sky. There weren't big winds that came in. It just softly, a little bit, started raining, and they got rain, and the crops begin to grow. And so they had a day of Thanksgiving. That's where it all started, like 1621, I think, something around there. 1620, I think they got her. 1621, they had Thanksgiving. And it was like, I think, 50 pilgrims, and about 90 Indians came. And they were peaceful Indians. They got along just great. They all celebrated together. In fact, one of the Indians got saved because of the miracle of the rain that they had prayed to their God and got. You know, that's history we don't hear a lot about, but it's a fact. It's just a fact. And then there's one little Indian came over there and got all hooked up with the pilgrims and lived his whole life with them. And his name was Squanto. He accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and served God all the days of his life. You know, that's part of our history. Yes. And the first, I just reading some things here. I thought I'd read off before I get into talking about Thanksgiving in general, the attitude of Thanksgiving. This was just some information I got from David Barton. If you're not familiar with David Barton, he has an organization called Wall Builders, and he's a tremendous amount of history about our Christian culture, how this nation was formed as a Christian nation. This nation was not formed as a Muslim nation. It was not formed as a Jewish nation. It was not formed as a Hindu nation. It was founded and formed as a Christian nation. And our Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and, you know, if you look at our, it was formed based on Christian principles, and there's no question about that. Every founder of the country was not necessarily Christian. The vast majority of them were, and the ones that weren't Christian believed in the Christian idea. And that's history. That's not partisan politics. But anyway, David Barton does an excellent job. He's written a lot on that. In fact, I have a Bible that Betty gave me back in a few years ago, 2013, I think. Gave me a Bible called the Founders Bible. And it's a tome, and it's just filled, as you're reading through the Bible, it stops, and it gives you a little history in the United States where they stood on this scripture, and they used this scripture to come up with this law, and how this colony was formed, and it's amazing. You can't take Christianity out of America. You can't. You don't have America. If you want to be honest with history, if you don't want to rewrite history and take it as is, then it's obviously there. But America's first national Thanksgiving occurred in 1789. In other words, a national holiday. The pilgrims did in 1621, but when we formed our country, it became a national holiday, 1789, with the commencement of the federal government. Isn't that interesting? The federal government says we need to set aside a day to thank God. Hallelujah. According to the congressional record for September 25th of that year, the first act after the framers completed the framing of the Bill of Rights. That's interesting. And Mr. Elias Boudinet, or Boudinot, I don't know if you pronounce how to pronounce that. It's like one of those names in South Louisiana. It's like Thibodeau, D-E-A-U-X. You know, I hate to get that. But anyway, he said he could not think of letting the session pass without offering an opportunity to all the citizens of the United States of joining with one voice and returning to Almighty God their sincere thanks for the many blessings he's poured down upon them. With this view, therefore, he would move with the following resolution. It was resolved that a joint committee of both houses be directed to wait upon the President of the United States to request that he would recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. This is part of our history. The congressional resolution was delivered to President George Washington, who heartily concurred with the request, issued the first federal Thanksgiving proclamation, declaring in part, and actually George Washington declared it as November the 26th. It's when they got together in September and put all this together. Now it's like the fourth Thursday of November every year to make it convenient. But here's what George Washington said you know, edited somewhat. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God. That was understood. To obey His will. Hallelujah, somebody. To be grateful for His benefits. And humbly to implore His protection and favor. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, 1789, that we may all unite to render unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and His protection. Wow. Isn't that cool? What has happened to our country? We need to pray. Amen. You know, and if you have your Bibles turned, I'm going to read one verse out of 2 Timothy 3, and then we're going to talk about Thanksgiving, the attitude, Thanksgiving. 2 Timothy chapter 3. First verse, chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Well, I think we're pretty well experiencing that. Amen. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Everybody say unthankful. Think about it. That's what we're talking about. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. If you stand for righteousness, you stand for good. You can just might as well be get ready to be called all kinds of slanderous names. It's just amazing to me how that you can, if you stand up for what's right, you're called a racist. You're called a homophobe. If you believe a bigot, which is ridiculous. Come on. If you believe in immigration and laws and immigration, you're called a racist, which is ridiculous. We're all from different countries. We just believe in law. We believe that people ought to come legally. Anybody can come legally. It doesn't matter where you're from. That's not racist. But if you stand up for righteousness in this day and age, you are going to get labeled as intolerant because you don't tolerate the people that are intolerant of you. But anyway, you know, I don't hate people. I don't hate anybody I disagree with. Don't want to shoot anybody or kill anybody that I don't agree with, you know. But I do believe in the sanctity of life. I think that children have a right to be born. Are you with me? Is that wrong to believe in the rights of children? You know, if you want to think of something being racist, I think it'd be racist to kill minorities in the womb by the thousands and millions. I believe in letting them live. Hallelujah. I believe in life. Sanctity of life. Hallelujah. But it says, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. That's what we see today. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. And often they'll talk about things like compassion and love, but it's not love. It's not compassion. It's just a form. But denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That's kind of where we are today in this country. But, you know, having said that, we still need to be thankful. If we agree with what God said there, and I don't know how we could not agree with that when you look around. You know, it's been said the best thing to do about poor people is not be one. In other words, do your best to help poor people. Do your best to make it in life so you can be a part of the answer instead of a part of the problem. The best thing to do for the people that are depressed is not be depressed. Have some joy about you so you can help someone that's depressed. Amen? The best thing to do about people that are hateful is don't be one. Don't be hateful. Love people. Amen? And the best thing to do about these people, these things that we see, we just read here, is to not be one. Let's don't be unthankful. Are you with me? Let's don't hate those things that are good. Let's don't be heady, high-minded. Let's love people. Praise God. I always say, you know, in this church, I don't care where you've been or what you've done. Come on, we love you. We're for you. Now, we're not for what you've done. I'm not for everything I did. But I believe there's hope for you. And I believe there's hope for me. The gate's open. What are you doing in a prison? Amen? We have an obligation to this country, to be grateful to this country, to honor the laws of this country, to honor the Constitution of this country. Brenda got choked up when she's praying, thinking of people that have lived and fought and died and given their lives for this country. People shed their blood so I could stand here and preach to you the gospel, the good news in this country, and not be worried about somebody coming in here, you know, and taking us over, locking us up, throwing us in jail for having a Bible, much less preaching it. Are you claiming to be a Christian? much less standing up here in talking about Christianity. There are countries in this world, if you go to, you would actually be confined, locked up, tortured, and killed for your faith. Not so in this country. Thank God for this country. I thank God for everybody who served in this country, whatever branch of the military they served in, whatever civil duty they've done. Thank God for the United States of America. You know, we have a song, it says, God bless America. Amen. And so this is where we are. We owe the debt of gratitude. It's just right. It's civil. It's decent. It's the right thing to do. You know, I hardly ever read a book where they don't have a page called acknowledgments. You ever notice that? And usually it's right up front, isn't it? It's like the first page or two. I first want to acknowledge all the people who helped me do this. You know, and so, you know, we are who we are today because of God, yes, first. But we're greatly affected by the country that we were raised in and the freedoms that we hold dear in this country. So we have an obligation to our country. I don't have a problem helping poor people. I think that we've gone wrong in demanding that we help it, poor people, because I think when you demand people help poor people, then they don't do it out of love. You know, rich people always help poor people. Those that have always help those that hadn't. When you force someone to do it, then it gets a little crazy. Those are things we need to pray about and vote about in our country and our nation. We've got a food bank. Come on, we help all kinds of people. We're not just talk. We're doing something about it. Are you with me? But I do realize what happens is a lot of the unthankfulness in our country comes from we're forced to do things. You know, I'm not against poor people at all. We want to help poor people. But when you force someone to do it, then they don't feel charity or love about it. And when it's a right, no, the government just makes sure people get your money. Are you with me? They don't feel grateful. Now, the same thing's happening. The people that have are given to those that don't, which is right. But when it becomes law and you have to do it, no one is doing that out of love and no one is grateful when they get it. And so a lot of times we've become unthankful in our country because we feel like we're entitled or we feel like we have a right. What you have a right to in this country is the pursuit of happiness. You don't have the right to happiness. You have the right to the pursuit of happiness. You have a fair level playing field here, as it were. You know, you can go to work. You can get an education. You can do some things. But we need to understand what rights are, what entitlements are you with me? What privileges are, and then what responsibility is. You know, I have a responsibility. I'm the pastor of this church. Isn't that great? Yeah, but you know what? I got responsibility. I can't just call in sick. Stay home, watch the Cowboys while we're having a service. Are you with me? Even going on vacation, I have to limit those, you know, because I'm the leader. I have to be here. In fact, the more you go up, you know, in leadership, the less freedom you really have. Because now you belong to more people, and you're obligated to more people. Everybody wants to be the boss, but they think they have more freedom, but actually you have less freedom. Because then you're responsible for more people. I mean, if I were just to check out and say, hey, I'm tired of this, I'm gone, well, that affects the whole church. I can't just do that. And I'm not going to do that, so don't get worried, okay? Don't get concerned. But that comes with responsibility. And I'm, you know what keeps me going? Gratitude. Thankfulness. I know where I would be without Jesus. I am glad to be where I am, amen? I am thankful about where I am. And thankfulness needs to roll over to others. Not just our country, but to each other. We ought to be grateful for each other. You know, there's that great saying, an old man is about to die, and they asked him if he could change anything that he would change in his life. If he could go back over his life, what could he do? What would he do? He said, well, I think I'd just get some help. You know, trying to do everything by myself. No, we need each other, amen? And we need to be thankful for each other. I think God for you and for everything that you do. This church is all of us. This church is not me. It's not Brenda. It's not one person, two people, three people. It's not the food bank. It's not Hallelujah Night. It's not the teaching class. It's not the cleaning. It's not the nursery. It's not the children's church, the youth. It's all of us. This church is all of us. And we ought to be grateful and thankful for each other. See, that's what thank, when you thank, it almost sounds East Texas like saying think. I've been thinking. But when you thank someone, you have to think of what they did for you. You have to think on things that others have done. Now, we don't stop and do that. We kind of just take credit for everything that goes on. But all of us are a product of each other. You know, there's that old poem, John Donne. He was a poet and a cleric, and he wrote No Man's an Island. Remember that? No man is an island entire unto himself. Every man is a piece of the whole. And he says, if a clod, and he wasn't calling you a clod, but a piece of the continent clod, be washed off into the sea, the continent is less. And he says, therefore, he says, every man's death diminishes me. Therefore, sin not for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. What he was saying there, you know, was that we're a part of each other. And everybody in your life has added something to your life, and you have added something to others' lives. And we are a product of each other. Thank God for each other. Thank God for the difference. Hallelujah. You bring out something in me, you know, some hope it's good. And I bring out something in you. And there's flavor and variety there. You know, I wrote this acronym down, THANKS, thanks. Excuse me. And the T stands for thinking about others. If you're going to be thankful and you're going to have a grateful attitude, then you have to think of somebody other than yourself. Amen. I just thank the orchestra and Amanda and Cassie for doing the little things. Kelly coming up and redoing this. Brenda needs some help with that. We did all we could with it, and it was just, it's fallen over. Probably the preacher's grandkids. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not naming any names, Asher or anything like that. I wouldn't say that. But we needed some help, and Kelly does that. And she came up, and thank you, Kelly. You know, and different people that do things. You ought to take time to thank people, amen? You have to think about people, others, to do that, okay? And then H, you ought to honor others and humble yourselves. Come on, you're not that great. We figured that out a long time ago. You need to figure it out, too. You need to get over yourself. We got over you a long time ago. No, we're all part of this thing. Amen. You're unique. There's nobody like you, but there's no sense in you trying to be anybody else. Everybody else is already taken. Just be yourself. Amen. You're unique. One, God's one and only. Now start being humble about that and realize that you don't have what other people have. You have what they don't, but they have what you don't. Woo. Are you out there? Yes. Honor others and humble yourself. A, acknowledge others and accept our need of others in our lives. God never meant for you to go this alone. God ordained church. Church is God's ideal. He wants us to get together. And he knows we need to get together. You know, I'm not the body of Christ. I'm a member in the body of Christ. And so that means I need you. You need me. Amen. I need church. I need to come down here every week. I need to rub shoulders and, you know, with you. I need to hear your testimony. I need your prayers and your faith. Hallelujah. I need your fellowship. Iron sharpens iron, and accountants of a friend sharpens accountants of a friend. Hallelujah. So I need to acknowledge that in my life and accept the help that others offer. In, of course, is need. We're reminded of our need of others, and we need never forget that. I am grateful. I thank God. I mentioned this country. Thank God for the United States of America. I thank God for this church. I thank God for you. Hallelujah. I know I need you. Amen. Okay. I remember the kindness of others. I am where I am today because people opened up doors for me. I'm where I am today because people were kind to me. Not everybody, but there were some that were. And because they were, I am where I am. And because they are, you're where you are. It's that old saying, it's not what you know, but who you know. There's a lot of truth to that. When it comes to salvation, that is exactly true. It's not what you know, it's who you know. You need to know Jesus, amen? But people have been kind to me. People have opened doors for me. People have allowed me platforms, as it were. And so the kindness of others, I'm thankful. And the service, S, the service of others in my life, how people have served me and prayed for me and helped me and stood behind me. I mean, those are things to think of. Thanks. Think of others, honor others, and humble ourselves. Acknowledge others and accept our need of others. Need, reminded of our need for others, kindness of others, and the service of others. Well, we thank God for our country, thank God for each other, and then ultimately, we thank God for God, concerning God. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 138. We'll just read a few verses here and talk about some things we want to thank God for. It's Thanksgiving. Should be something we do all the time. In Psalms 138, I love this verse. Psalms 138 is right after 137. Dave mentioned something earlier in the class, and I was, had my iPad out, and he said, what page is that on? You know, iPads don't have pages, but I thought I'd help you. It's right after 137. Notice what it says in the second verse. It says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for your loving kindness and for your truth, for you have magnified your word above your name. I tell you one thing we can thank God for, the truth of God's word. We live in a world where truth is just not a commodity that you get very often. It's not very widespread across this nation. The more I live, the more I realize that common sense really isn't all that common. Are you out there? And so truth is not something we hear a lot of. We hear the news every day, but you don't know what the truth is. We find out a lot of stuff they've been saying, they've been lying to us. Do you know that? Absolutely had an agenda. Can you believe that? That these people up there on that television screen, it's amazing, but they are actually human. And they're not much different than us. Hello. And sometimes they tell the truth, and sometimes they lie. Are you with me? And so I thank God that he's always telling me the truth. God just doesn't ever lie to us, does he? I thank him for his loving kindness, and I thank him for his truth. That when I read something in the Bible, I can stand on it. It doesn't matter whether it's 2016. It doesn't matter whether it's 4 BC. It just doesn't matter. Whenever God says something, it's true. And I thank him for that. No matter what mood I'm in, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what happens, no matter what goes on in our country, God's word is truth. God, I thank God for that. Amen. I can always know what the truth is. What is truth? That's what Pilate said. Well, the truth is Jesus. The truth is God's word. In 2 Corinthians 2, you may want to just write some of these down because we don't have time to turn all of them. I want to let you out in plenty of time, put the chairs up, and go watch the Cowboys. Might catch, you know, the latter part of the first quarter. But anyway, the 2 Corinthians 2:14, if you want to write notes down, we want to thank him because he causes us to triumph in Christ. I like that. I thank God that I can win. I thank God that no matter what happens, I can go over, not under. I don't have to choose to go under. I can choose to go over, hallelujah. I don't have to lay down like a dog. I can rise up, praise God, and I can win. So, you know, thank God for this country. Thank God for others. But thank God, for truth and for triumph. That's the way I would put that. Thanks be unto God, which caused us to triumph in Christ. It makes manifest the Savior of his knowledge, or the aroma of his knowledge by us in every place. I'm going around letting people just get a scent of heaven through my victories, through my answered prayers, through my joy. People are just getting a little scent from heaven, just a little indicator. You know, everything down, every blessing, every miracle, every answered prayer is just an aroma. It's just a scent. Just a scent. It's not the real thing. It's not the whole thing. It's not all of it. It's just an indicator. It's a letter from heaven. It's like when you walk by, you know, a restaurant and you catch an aroma. Well, it's just the scent. See, all of creation can tease, but it cannot please. You can't find total peace down here, but you can get a scent of it. You can get an aroma of it from Jesus. You can get a little peace. You get a little joy, just pieces of it. But see, what's cooking's in the kitchen, and the kitchen's in heaven. That's where you want to get to. Amen. So everything down here is just an indicator. We get a little piece of it, but it just doesn't quite satisfy, does it? But God, you know, hey, man, we get the whole enchilada when we get to heaven. You know, I said this at a funeral yesterday, that life is kind of a mixed bag. It's a little bit of heaven, a little bit of hell. You know that. There are some bad days. I mean, come on. There's some crises. There's things that happen in life. Different moods you go through. There's some good days, too. There's some days you just feel like, man, Mr. Bluebird is on your shoulder. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-a. My, oh, my, what a wonderful day. That's wonderful. As Christians, we know who to thank during that time. But I'm under no delusion. I know it's not like that 100% of the time. I know it's a mixed bag. It's a little good, a little bad, a little hell, a little heaven. Now, if you like the good parts, the zippity-doo-dah days, the Mr. Bluebird on your shoulder days, then you want to be sure and go to heaven, because in heaven, man, Mr. Bluebird's on your shoulder all day long. It's heaven all day long. If you don't like the bad parts, those crises that hit, that pain that hits, that loss that hits, and on and on and on, if you don't like hell that you have to go through, you want to be sure and miss hell when you die, because it's hell all day long. Think about it. Thank God for triumphing in Christ. Amen. Thank God. We got a lot to thank God for. I thank God for heaven. Well, in 2 Corinthians 7:14, here's a good one concerning our country. It says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. I just wrote down a couple of things here. I thank God for hearing me and I thank God for healing me. I thank him for truth and I thank him for triumph. I thank him for hearing and I thank him for healing. God doesn't only hear me when I pray, but he heals me when I pray. And he'll hear us when we pray for this country. And he'll heal this country when we pray for this country. Amen? Amen. That's something to thank God for. Hallelujah. I mean, this holiday was about this country. It was about praying for this country. It was about thanking God for providing for us in this country. That's how it all started. And then it became a national holiday. Wow, we as Christians for sure ought to be doing that. Amen? A couple more things I can think of. Well, actually several. But in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, it says, call unto me, and I'll answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you know not. I thank God for answering me when I pray. He doesn't just hear me, but he answers me. He shows me great things. You know, I'm not just throwing things up there and just hoping something sticks, you know. I'm not pulling a lever. We're not in Las Vegas here hoping it comes up triple nickels. Come on. Prayer is not a gamble. Prayer is communication with God who loves us, who cares for us, who really, really wants to help us, okay? He really does. And so if we really go to him in faith, you know what? He will hear us and he will answer us. And it won't be sometimes no, sometimes yes, sometimes wait a while. If we pray what he said, if we pray his word, he is going to do what he says. He's going to do his word. The only reason we wouldn't get an answer is we didn't pray what he said. Are you with me? We come up with something he didn't promise. But if he promises, he's not going to say no if he's the one that said he would do it. Thank you for your enthusiasm. But I thank God for truth. Amen? We talked about that. His word is truth. And so if I find the truth and I pray the truth, he's going to do the truth. Hallelujah. And I can be confident in that. I don't have to wonder. You know, a lot of people say, well, you never know what the Lord's going to do. No, we know what the Lord's going to do. It's you and me that are flaky. Okay? We're the ones that never keep. You know, we don't know for sure what we're going to do. But God knows. I know what God's going to do. He's going to do what he says he's going to do. Hallelujah. And he says, if I call on him, he'll answer me and he'll show me great and mighty things which I know not. Hallelujah, somebody. Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Do you know you've been accepted? When everybody rejects you, God will accept you. God will take you in if you'll call on him. He'll never turn you away. If any man come to me, I'll no wise cast him out, is what Jesus said. So I thank God he answers me when I pray, and I thank you that he accepts me when I come. Hallelujah. I'm never busting a party when God throws one because I'm always invited. Amen. I'm never going there without an invitation. He gave me I don't just have an invitation to heaven. I got a reservation in heaven. Amen. Woo. Man, I got a reserved spot. I got an inheritance in heaven. I have been accepted. I don't know about everybody else. Maybe everybody doesn't like me. That's fine. I can't help that. I'm not trying to make people mad. But I know one thing. God loves me and he's for me. That ought to keep me going. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Well, so-and-so said something about me. Well, okay. I hate that. Really don't even want to hear that. Just want you to keep that to yourself. Don't tell me that and try to ruin my day. Okay. I know. Hello. Oh, did you hear what they said about you? No, and I don't want to hear what they said about me. You just pray about it and don't tell me, okay? If there's problems, I really don't want to know about that. I you know, I'm praying. I want to pray for everybody, but I know God loves me. I know he accepts me. I'm part of the beloved. Hallelujah. I've been accepted in the beloved. So I praise him for truth and triumph. I praise him for hearing me and healing me. I praise him for answering me and accepting me. And in Hebrews 13:5 says this, I just started going through some scriptures, and we could go on for days. I just picked out a few things here. You might pick out a whole lot of other things. Things that you should be thankful for. You know, when you're thanking someone, you have to think on something good they've done. It makes you realize, it's a humbling experience because it makes it you realize you're a product of others. And ultimately, we are all a product of the goodness of God and the kindness of God and the compassion of God and the love of God. And it's not that I went after him. He has been after me all my life. He's been after every soul in this world, every spirit in this world. He's been after them. The hound of heaven has been on their trail. And what happened is, when you say you found God, or I say I found God, I just quit running. And you quit running. And you stopped. And he's been on, you didn't convince him to accept you, bring you in. He wanted you all the time. He was always after you. You didn't just decide to pursue him. He'd been pursuing your whole life. You know, when I got saved, it was more like unhooking my gun belt, dropping it, taking my knives out. I quit fighting. I'd been fighting God, and he didn't want to fight. He just wanted to love me. I gave up. That's how I got saved. I quit running. It's not that I finally said, I'm going to go after Jesus. You know, I realized he'd been after me all my life. I realized he loved me, and I couldn't fight that. And so I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But no, it wasn't just me. It was him all the time. It was the hound of heaven on my trail, relentlessly on my trail. It's amazing how people can reject God all their life, and they do. People do that. With God loving them, and all he wants to do is love them. That's all he wants to do. It's all he wants to do with you is love you. He just wants to make you the best you could ever be. He just wants you to live forever. He doesn't want you to die. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He doesn't want you to live in pain and misery. He wants to change all that. But see, he's not going to make you do that. Not going to make you do it. He's going to let you choose, because God does not want to dance with a mannequin. He doesn't want to dance with a robot, and he doesn't want to pay somebody to dance. He wants you to come dance freely. Amen? Aren't you glad? Amen. Hallelujah. But that's the gospel, the good news. Well, the Bible says, Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, I know kids sometimes get concerned about parents leaving them, and you know, divorce is a terrible thing. There is forgiveness for it, and people recover, and we heal, and so on and so forth. But divorce is rough on kids. It's rough on families. I know I've been through, you know, not very near divorce, but when I was a kid, my parents divorced twice, and they married each other 3 times. I mean, thank God they kept going back together. And they lived, and when my dad died, they were married. They've been married for years and years and years. But I never will forget, as a kid, thinking, what did I do? Because you just don't understand. You don't know what's going on. I think, what did I do that daddy left? Why did daddy leave? You know, daddy had a drinking problem. He was an alcoholic. And so I was, you know, you wanted your parents to be back together. You didn't understand what they were going through. You're just too little to assimilate all that and to digest all that in your head. You can't figure all that. There's a lot of things, a lot of reasons why divorce happens. And stay with me. But you just don't understand when people leave. You don't understand when your daddy leaves. You don't understand when your mama leaves. You don't get it. You just don't understand it. I went through a couple of those, you know, and remember the second one vividly because I was a little older at that point. But you don't ever have to worry about that with God. God's never going to leave you. He is not going to leave you. Okay? Get that straight. He's going to be there with you, and he's not jumping in and out of you like a yo-yo. He's there for you. You can call him anytime. You can run there and get you a hug if you need a hug. You can sit in his lap if you need to sit in his lap. You can have a little talk, you know, a little heart-to-heart talk with him. You can do that anytime. His door is open. Hallelujah. He's a good God. He's a loving Father. And he'll never, ever, ever, ever leave you. He's not a man that he'd lie, nor the son of man he'd repent. I hope you had a good parents. I hope you had a good daddy. I hope you had a good mama. But if you didn't, you got one now. You got one. You got the best one you ever had. You can't undo the past. You can't unscramble eggs. Listen, you got to be a big girl and a big boy now. You're grown up. You can't be blaming your parents. Don't go down that road. That's a nowhere road. But you got nothing to be ashamed of now, and you got nothing to be intimidated by now. You got a God. I'm thankful. I know since I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God has never, ever, ever, ever left me. I've been through some tough times. Who hadn't? I've had crises. Who hadn't? But you know what? I've always been able to call on God. Always. And miraculously, you know, I would recover. I'd get over things I thought I'd never get over. I'd get through situations I thought I'd never get through. But I knew, I knew that God would help me. I knew He would. I knew He would. And He did. He always does. Life's tough. I mean, come on. It hurts. It bites. It cuts, you know, and it sticks. And, you know, it does, because we're not in heaven. I got that. I understand that. But you know what? God will help you get through the tough times, and you can count on Him. Praise God. Wow. So, He never leaves us. Lamentation says this, and I'm just going to have to quit. I got so many things where I can think of His kindness. I can think about ultimately Him saving us. My goodness gracious, how could you put a value on that? How would you not be thankful forever for that, being saved? But listen to this, Lamentations, that's a book you probably don't read very much, because it is the lament that's going on in there. He's lamenting. Some books are just not all that fun. You know, Job's not a real fun book, but it's still there. The real exciting one I love is Numbers. That's the one I love. They're numbering all those tribes. But there are some nuggets in those books that you don't normally read. You know, even the genealogy has some truth in there if you really dig in there. Notice what it says here in Lamentations 3:22. It says, "It is of the Lord, the Lord's mercies." It's because of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. God, you know, the sun's going to come up tomorrow, and God's got some new kindness, and He's got some new compassion, and every day His mercies are new every morning. That is so good. I mean, I got a future. You got a hope. You got a destiny. So I thank God that He never leaves me, and I thank You for His mercies that are new every morning. He's not just there with me. He's there to help me. He's not there just, you know, laying down there when I get knocked down. He's there to help me get back up. He's there to give me mercy and give me compassion. Hallelujah. So He's not just there. He's there to deliver me and to set me free. Okay. Truth and triumph. Hearing me and healing me. Answering and accepting me. Never leaving me. And His mercies are new every morning. His kindness toward us. And, of course, that He saves us. You know, they called His name Jesus because He would save His people from their sins. I have not just been saved from the consequence of my sin. I have been saved from my sins. Amen. We often think about, I'm saved for the penalty. Well, no, I'm not just saved from the penalty of my sins. I'm saved from my sins. I don't have to keep sinning. I don't have to keep doing that thing that's been that hate and that drugs or whatever it is I'm addicted to. You know, He didn't just save me from the consequence of it. It says He came to save me from my sins. Hallelujah. So now He's given me the power to overcome, the power to love, the power to forgive, the power to live holy and live right. I don't have to live like I used to live. Hallelujah, somebody. I can live for God now. I can. I didn't used to, but I can now. I can live for God. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful not just this day, but every day. God is a good God. God is good all the time. Stand up, give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. That help you this morning?